Blog Talk Radio.
Alright. Check.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
Beef jerky is distinctly in the air. Diet Pepsi soda bottles are piling up in the back seat. The Wisconsin are on the way down to invade Kentucky. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special August 24th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour Roadshow live on I-65, presented at MyFFPC.com and Miller 64, right here on live from this Nissan Altima. I'm your host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is Dave Gerzak. Coming up on this afternoon's show, we'll bring you the sights and sounds of Indiana's beautiful Interstate 65 highway, play a bunch of Would You Rathers posed to us from our number one fan on Twitter, and we'll talk about the strategies we're going to be taking at the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship this weekend at the Binion Horseshoe Casino in Elizabeth, Indiana. Plus, we'll answer all of your emails before we get Leroy's attention focused back on the game. You and I are sharing back seat right now as we do this. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's quite cozy. I love it.
I feel like we have roughly about the same room as we did last year in Malibu, but I feel more constricted because I'm putting on weight.
That could possibly be good. Yeah, that's it.
So let's introduce our guests here real quick. Sitting in the front seat, we have Kurt Awe and the real Leroy Corson. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, how you doing?
Leroy, you're doing a hell of a good job driving so far. And big ups to you for driving this gamut for us every year. This is fantastic. We don't know how much we appreciate it as much as we're afraid for our lives at certain points.
Oh, just trying to survive it, man. Holy crap.
Dave was already calling Leroy Cold Trickle on the way down. And we have Indiana.
Yeah, man. It's so true.
It's like we got our own Indianapolis 500 on here. Shout out to the chat room right now. We got Tupac, BFD Fantasy Football, and of course my favorite guest, 1177.
And there's like 40 other people, but we don't have time.
We have too much show again. Feel free to post any questions you might have in there. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, you can do so at HSFF Hour, or you can add the HSFF hashtag to your tweets. Facebook page, facebook.com/TheHighStakesFantasyFootballHour. The phone number, 347-426-3682. That's 347-426-3682. Show email, highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us, Kurt, or Leroy, now is the time to send them. Do our best to get to all the chat rooms. Sweet emails on our fantasy feedback segment later in the show. The FFPC wants to all tell you about the 2012 Football Guys Players Championship. Just a $350 entry fee per team or $3 for $1,000. Each player will have a shot at the $150,000 grand prize as well as $2,000 league prizes as well for 2012. Play the highest mid-stakes prize structure ever offered. There are still plenty of draft times open, so in and grab your preferred time. As always, the entire 2012 Football Guys Players Championship prize fund is placed in an attorney escrow account and is fully secured for the entire fantasy season. Now that Dave's part of the show out of the way, promoting his contest and doing everything that we can about the show,
yes,
we can get started with the actual fantasy finale. Welcome in Da Joker as well to the chat room, so this is fantastic. Let's start it off, guys. The first thing I wanted to do is some stuff that happened last night. Cedric Benson, we'll kick it off with him. He rushed 6 times for 38 yards. He catches one pass for 10 yards against the Bengals last night in his preseason debut. Alex Green did not look as good, 5 carries, 10 yards. Alex Green actually started. Benson came on for the second possession for Green Bay. He had an 8-yard carry, a 9-yard carry on the inside. He added another 11-yard run and the 10-yard catch. He's expected to open the season as the starter. And remember, he's not going to be facing those tough Steelers and Ravens defenses anymore. going to be facing some softer run defenses like the Vikings, I guess you can say the Bears. They weren't all that spectacular last year. I'll start it off with Dave right now. What's your read on Cedric Benson?
Pretty good, actually. I was impressed. He got like one of those 3.5 yards per carry type guys. He actually got a few targets, too, which also seems a little surprising. I think people are underrating Packers' ability to rush the football if they actually get a back that isn't just awful. And I think Benson definitely fills that bill.
So Dave is all about Benson. I kind of miss our mom. Like, whatever. He's a plotter, accumulator that doesn't catch passes. And I wonder, and this isn't to be underrated, but I really wonder how much of it had to do that he was going up against his old team last night, that he really wanted to. Whoa, keep her on the road. that's our first deception moment here of the ride. But again, I think that could carry over for the rest of the season. Kurt, what's your read on it? What are you thinking about Cedric Benson this year? Is this the type of production we can expect from him on a game to game basis? Reading the glass half full. Kurt's all negative.
Yeah,
exactly. Is this a Cowboy or a Steeler?
Right.
It's tough to get a good read. Joe Flacco. He went 27 of 36 for 266 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick last night. He also had 1 carry for 2 yards. He looked comfortable and composed in the no huddle. He diced up the formidable Jacksonville secondary with passes to Torrey Smith and Quan Bolden. Bold actually scored a 5-yard touchdown. He also hit Monte Leach for an 8-yard touchdown. And it looked like they were really bringing it out in the red zone, which is something we're accustomed to for the Ravens the past couple of years. Flacco probably not going to play in the last game. So he finishes the preseason 43 of 60 for 433 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. That's a 71.7 completion percentage. Dave, what do you think about let's just kind of talk about not just Flacco, but the Ravens. The Ravens passing attack in general, specifically Flacco and Torrey Smith. These guys need to draft board.
Yeah, I think so. I think they both will be. I mean, Flacco looked good. Torrey Smith looked excellent. Flacco's in a contract here, and they did not sign him to that extension. At least not yet. They may still be negotiating, and they could go into the season for that. I think Flacco has a career year. I think it still takes. He was still learning. I think, again, this year, I think he's going to do even better.
Leroy, let me pitch this question to you. I know you're driving, so you can keep it short and sweet. Torrey Smith, a guy that you like as maybe your wide receiver 3 in your FFPC this year?
Yes.
Not the best business for nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, Leroy's formal training as a producer, so he builds these shows and he puts them together. He leaves the talent portion to untalented me and Dave Grex.
So. Yeah, behind the camera guy.
So, Leroy likes Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith, by the way, 8 for a 103 last night. Remember, he played a series in the first half.
One series?
What is the second half? Hold on. One series. I thought we were going to ditch there for a second. Leroy finally gets some airtime, and then he almost just jerks the steering wheel over, just a sheer depression of only come with one word. But that's fine. Hey, a guy who I've almost jerked the steering wheel over when I've owned him on my fantasy team, Blaine Gabbert. He was 11 of 21 last night for Buck 17 in the Jaguars' 3rd preseason against the Ravens. Gabbert finishes the preseason, assuming he does not play much or at all in the final game. 29 of 47 for 291 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a turnover, 61.7% completion percent. Hand in hand with Blaine Gabbert last night, pun intended. Justin Blackman caught 4 balls, 78 yards in the Jags game. So actually, Blackman's played 5 quarters in the preseason, and in those 5 quarters, he's 8 buck 20 touchdowns. Like, he seems to have a rapport with Blaine Gabbert in this kind of look Jags offense. He's got the deep threat potential. He's going to need a lot of hits. Robinson really struggled, and they look like Blackman in big shape. So, Dave, I know you are riding the Justin Blackman band, and I'm kind of have some eye to go by right now, thinking about getting on, but I'm not. Yeah, hold on. All right, are we good? I saw a lot of brake lights and stuff, and then Leroy accelerated.
I know, that was unusual.
All right, Dave, so let's talk about Justin Blackman here.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that he's proven that he can handle his alcohol. Point four,
right?
For BAC,
definitely something that all NFL players need to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, he got driving, so he actually he didn't crash anything like that. He's a very talented player. He's got that great touch ability. Yeah, my big fear with him was Gabbert, of course, and then it's just the rookie receiver thing. And, you know, that there's no other skilled players at receiver. Mike Thomas is awful. Robinson's decent, but I mean, Blackman's got that pedigree and that talent. If Gabbert can put it together and at least hit that 60% completion percentage, I think Blackman has a shot at 1,000 yards this season.
I got to tell you, that was too professional of an answer to be.
What about the alcohol?
No, it's for a radio show going down the highway right now.
All
right. And now we're hitting traffic here. Leroy, can you tell us exactly? I'm going to skirt about Blaine Gabbert in a second, but can you tell us exactly where we are right now? I know. I know in Indy, but for instance, how many miles is it till Indianapolis right now?
About 38.
So about 38 miles at Indianapolis. We left this morning at 7 a.m.
Hey, Porky's Smokehouse is coming up there.
We've already pit stopped at these. We had a little snafu with the rental car. We have to find a lot. Get that taken care of. That's kind of a funny story, not for this show. Let's get back on track here with Blaine Gabbert. Kurt, it's like Blaine Gabbert at all. Okay, hold on. As far as I'm going to interrupt myself now, as I'm prone to do, I know that Gabbert's probably, I think everybody would say he's draftable in a DE. Are you taking him in any leagues in Kentucky or in FFC in 2 weeks?
Depends on how much alcohol I see.
So we're not loving where Dave Addison Blackman. I don't know. I feel like this is one of the things that I'm going to end up like drafting him this week just because like I sat and talked about him too long. So then I feel like a relationship with him and I have to. Yeah, let's move on. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is 12 minutes now past the top of the hour. You're listening to High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour Road. Live on myffpc.com, we are Dave Gerzak and Eric Balkman going down the highway with guests Kurt Aug, the real Leroy, of course, and talking fantasy, hoping to live all the way in the horseshoe where we will be drafting the Kentucky Fantasy Football Championship tonight and all weekend. Another guy I want to talk about, and I think this is a guy kind of becoming a little polarizing as it were, as we move closer to the regular season. Last night, Chris Johnson went up against that defensive front seven stalwart that is the Arizona Cardinals, carried the ball 13 times for 27 yards. His first run went for 9 yards, and that set up Ken White's 10-yard touchdown catch. 4 run blocking the rest of the night. He's struggling to catch screen passes. He lost a lot of third down targets to Javon Ringer, or as people call him, Ringer, which is really annoying. It's worth noting, and you know who you are, and people who are listening know who I'm talking about, too. It's worth noting that Johnson racked up a career-high 57 catches last year, Ringer getting third-down looks, so it's not a huge concern. Through all three preseason games so far, Chris Johnson, 28 carries for 81 yards, 2.89 per day average. Offensive line just terrible, even if Chris Johnson still has a talent. Dave, I think you are the biggest supporter of Chris Johnson. Talk about how far you've fallen on supporting him this year in fantasy.
I'll say in this car I might be the biggest supporter.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I meant but listen, my whole world is the car right now. The world outside is not this. It's just the car. So talk to Chris Johnson.
You know, I really don't like him either. You know, I might be the guy who likes him the most, but I like their offensive line. It's awful. I think Blocker is, he's got a rocket. I mean, he's just very good. He's accurate. He holds the ball too long. Prone to interceptions. I think that team is big warning sign, big red flag. The whole team. I think Johnson goes down with him, especially when you're spending your mid-first round pick on him. I mean, I never took a quarterback in the first round, but I would probably take a quarterback before I would take Chris Johnson.
Wow. Maybe we should play would rather Chris Johnson or quarterback. Would you rather have Aaron Johnson or Chris Rodgers or Aaron Johnson? Would you rather have Aaron Johnson?
I'm not sure where he played.
I think he's a defensive end for the Steelers back in the mid-90s. I could be totally wrong on that.
I'd probably take Rodgers.
Drew Brees or Chris Johnson?
Brees.
Tom Brady or Chris Johnson?
I'd probably take Brady again.
Cam Newton or Chris Johnson?
I'd take Johnson.
Ah, so there's the cutoff. Dave Gerd, I think.
With Newton, you can get better.
Yeah, that's true. Take the top three quarterbacks over Chris Johnson. Leroy, is this a guy that you're looking at in the first? I'll even give you the second round. Is he a guy that you'd be looking at even in the second round this year? Wow, so that would be Leroy's spill your guts.
Yeah.
So Leroy just spill your guts.
I'm taking the
Johnson.
Second.
Let's move on here. Oh, Dave, this is going to hit near and dear to your heart here. NFL.com's Dan Hans reports that Carolina Panthers wide receiver Steve Smith is seeing a doctor for a foot infection.
Oh, my God.
The issue has kept him out of practice all week. Not believed to be serious. I got to say, if you're out of practice all week because of an infection, it's serious to me. Smith was walking on crutches on Wednesday. Are you putting any stock into this, or are you acting Steve Smith is normal?
Normal. I mean, come on, a foot infection. Not a staph infection.
Maybe it is. It could be.
Well, they've been keeping that under wraps, son. I think he's fine. I mean, it's not like a hamstring knee, tendonitis.
Leroy, are you doing this on purpose? Jesus. Like, holy cow. We're driving. For those of you who are familiar with driving, there's these little ridges. Is there, what do you call those, Leroy, on the side?
Ridges.
Are they called ridges? Okay.
It's called the highway.
So they're ridges, and you know, make the sound when you go over them, and
like Chris Johnson, Leroy's been targeting them all.
Yeah, it wakes us off for that. So you're drafting him, and Kurt, do you have any kind of concern with Steve Smith here?
No, I really don't. I think he'll be fine.
Do you have any other concerns with Steve Smith this year? Or is he a solid fourth round for you?
I would say he's pretty solid.
Especially when you got Dave Gerzak parading around in his Steve Smith icon jersey.
That's,
you know,
the
you
only
should do.
Problem I have.
Dave, you should get a Steve Smith jersey, but a Smith on the back. Have it say icon.
Oh, that's
even awesome. Better. The icon.
The icon.
Oh,
I love
that. That's fantastic. All right, final item in Fantasy Flash before we move on here. Kind of an interesting development if you are a boring person. Kevin Cobb completed 17 of 20. Passes for 156 yards, a touchdown, and two picks against the Titans last night. John Shelton went 4 of 10 for 41 yards and a pick. For what it's worth, the replacement left tackle, DJ Young, got killed by Marion Williams. Skelton was in there. Cobb engineered an impressive scoring drive, highlighted by 3 fifths catches for 72 yards. If not for two of the most shooting interceptions possible, and shocked by shocking, I mean that Cobb never should have thrown him. He might have pulled ahead. He will likely have to square off again next week versus the Broncos, and that'll determine who is the starter for the Cardinals next year. Dave, we've talked about this, in my opinion, ad nauseum, but I felt like this was worth bringing up since he actually put on a pretty decent performance last night. Does it matter who starting quarterback is in Arizona for anything?
You know, it matters a bit. I think that they'll be improved a little bit with Cobb in there. You know, the offense, you know, it just shows that Fitzgerald is such a consummate professional, because if I were him, I'd be like, you know, I am a Pro Bowl receiver, blank, blankety blank. And I'd be out there yelling at those linemen and the quarterbacks and telling them to get their crap together, because it's just embarrassing for Fitz to be such a fantastic player and have these awful guys around him. It's terrible for him.
Leroy, let me ask you this. Fitzgerald, obviously draftable. Is he the only Cardinal guy you're looking at drafting this weekend in Kentucky?
Yeah.
All right, so Leroy says Fitz is the only guy he's looking at drafting. And Leroy, let me piggyback on that for a second.
Why don't you ask him an open-ended question instead of a yes or no one?
Okay, Leroy, how much does it matter whether Skelton or Cobb is the starting quarterback for the Cardinals in regard to Fitz's fantasy prospect? All right. So, yeah, and I think I am the least favorite guy in the car right now. I don't like him at all. I hate him. What, you know?
I'll take a shot at Robert Williams late, possibly. That's about it.
Kurt, you second that? You like Beanie Wells at all, or just Robert Williams? Beanie did have, what was it, 6 carries for 12 yards last night.
He has proven himself.
Yeah.
Suck.
All right. So there you go. That's Fantasy Flash, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, you are listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Roadshow live on I-65 presented by MyFFPC.com and Miller 64. We are broadcasting on our way to the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, which will commence at 7 p.m. tonight. Remember, we got another show tonight coming up at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We'll be broadcasting during the KFFSB Dynasty League draft as we prepare for the auction. It's coming up at 8:30 Eastern time tonight. So we have that going on tonight for y'all. Eric Balkman, David Gerzak, Kurt Hawk, the real Leroy Corson, Cole Trickle, whatever you want to call him. He's a man of many nicknames. We're coming up on Zionsville, 1 mile from Zionsville for you Kentucky people, Indiana people that know what that is. That is where we currently broadcasting from. All right. Next thing I want to get to is something that's new to the show this week. I thought we had to bring out all the stops. And we have a new segment because we don't have a guest at all on the show besides Kurt Leroy. We're essentially, some amazing goals.
Okay.
I think that's well deserved. It's
are you raising that?
We get a pit.
Yes, you get a raise for nothing.
Yeah.
You're making me as a producer, Leroy. Don't worry about it. But they get a pin.
Yeah, we're gonna put a little pin on there.
Like a lapel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. So anyway, our number one fan on Twitter at GSF Ron, you may know him as Tupacker. We know him as Ron here. He actually tweeted at us a bunch for stuff he wanted answered live on I-65. So I thought we would humor him here. And it's going to be a bunch of would you rathers here. So here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to announce these guys, and you guys, I'm going to kind of hold the microphone in the middle of the car, and I feel like it should pick up everything. And I want to know how you guys rate these guys. Okay? Good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
They're trying to knock it down.
Oh, hold on.
Semi. Make sure we get there.
All right. Okay. So Kurt is navigating. Are we good to go now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I want you guys to rank these guys. Or tell me which guys you'd rather have, and then we'll have the rankings then. This quarterback, now he says, assume I'll have no injuries. I always assume that unless the guy's hurt.
Right, yeah.
Okay, all right. So first one from at GSF on Twitter, Jay Cutler or Matt Shaw?
Kurt? Oh, Cutler. I'll take Cutler too.
All right, we all like Cutler over Shaw. Jay Cutler or Philip Rivers?
Cutler.
Rivers. I'll take Cutler. Due to schedule.
I think I'm going to take Cutler as well. I don't like Philip Rivers' schedule. No Vincent Jackson there this year. All right, that's how I will do it there. And then Jay Cutler or Tony Romo?
Cutler.
Romo. I'm going Romo.
Right, I think I will also take Romo there. So for the quarterbacks, for these kind of fling, quarterback tiers, you have the aggregate car ranking, the aggregate piece of all ranking here goes Tony Romo, Jay Cutler, Philip Rivers, and Chubb. We like Rivers better than Chubb.
Yeah, I probably do.
Yeah, we all like Rivers better than Chubb. On to the running backs, gents. Running backs, we have. Let me see. How do I want to say that? He says Hillis Hunter or Jennings. I like Hillis better than all those guys.
Yeah, he goes like five rounds earlier.
Yeah. All right, Hillis first for sure, and then. Rashad Jennings. I have a feeling on this, but I'll let you guys talk.
I'm going to go with Jennings myself. I think that he has, there's always a chance MJD is just complete more on him this whole season. So there's always that possibility. Plus, MJD with no team camp could get hurt, and then Jennings actually might be right. And Hunter's got a lot of OCP over there.
So. Kurt, what do you think? MJD complete more on this year? I like Rashad Jennings over Kendall Hunt too, based on the fact that you don't really know what that Niners backfield is going to be like. There's Gore, there's Jacobs, there's Lamar James, there's Kendall Hunter. Basically, if MJD holds out, it's going to be Rashad Jennings' show. And honestly, even if MJD reports, which I do believe will, we're going to talk about that on tonight's show. Even if he reports, I feel like Rashad Jennings is still going to be worked in there at least the first month of the season. So, there is some value there as an RB4, even if MJD report. So from NTSN, we've ranked Peyton Hillis, Rashad Jennings, Bill Hunter. All right, moving on. Let's get to receivers, you guys. I think this is going to be kind of interesting because we talked about this off the air on the way down this morning. I'm going to start it off. Let's start it off with, okay, who Who would you rather have, Darius Hayward Bay or Pierre Garçon?
Garçon.
I agree, Garçon over Hayward Bay. Okay. Pierre Garçon or Miles Austin?
Garçon. Austin. I'll take Garçon again.
I'll take Garçon. You're already seeing penchant for the Dallas Cowboys here. Okay, so Pierre Garçon or Jeremy Maclin?
I'm going to take Garçon also.
I will take Maclin. Wow, you guys are crazy. I thought I loved Pierre Garçon.
Oh, man, I like
him. What's the reason? Why Maclin or Garçon there? Somebody.
I tend to think that Vic, there's always that Vic injury possibility. They do have Deshaun Jackson, whereas Garçon is their number one on the Redskins. And the rookie quarterback, I think RG3, I think White looks awesome, and I think he's going to make Garçon look awesome. He's going to target him very early all season.
So there you go. I like Garçon. The thing I have a problem with, I think we'll talk about this on the show tonight if I remember the rundown correctly. Man, if Phil Vick could go in, you could have a rookie and not a very good rookie in Nick Foles. You know, into all those Eagles catchers.
I'm going to beg to differ. I think Nick Foles is quite talented.
Really?
Yeah. I think 2 to 3 years, Vick has gone and Foles has started there.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of pundits and GMs would disagree with you.
But Foles actually had a decent game in relief. He threw for 200 yards. I don't remember what his completions were, but it was pretty solid.
Kurt, let me ask you this. Assume Nick Foles is the back for the Eagles this year. Are you switching your rankings or the way that you value Glenn, D-Jack, Selleck, Coy, any of those guys? Are you switching it based on, oh, my God, if Vic gets hurt, Nick Foles is the starter, switching it around at all? Do you care? Once again, these are all tweets coming from GSF Ron, Ron Meyer on Twitter. You can follow him at GSF Ron. This is a strategy question. Okay? So his first two picks are running back the exact same bye week. All right? He's saying in the third round, to not take a receiver with the same bye week, even if he is a little bit better than the next guy. Does that make sense? All right, makes the commission do. Especially in the third round. It's the third round, dude. You're taking guys that you want on your team that are going to be major contributors. Don't worry about the bye week. Well, I mean, seriously, what wide receiver are going in the third round? Like Brandon Marshall or who's another good third round receiver that I'm forgetting about?
Victor Cruz, Charlie.
Victor Cruz is like a flash in the pan or whatever, and you really think Marshall's going to catch like 110, 120 balls. Why would you take Cruz over Marshall if Marshall's bye week is the fall? You know what I mean? Lunacy. Absolute lunacy. So don't do it.
The best teams I've ever had, actually. I had a lot of the guys in the same bye week, and I just happened to have a fairly deep bench, and I actually went to the week when everyone had the bye. At that point, the rest of the team was unstoppable, because I had everybody back, and it was just turned out well.
There's been a lot of studies. I think Football Outsiders and our friends at footballguys.com, they've done studies on this about what team, what's better to try to split up your team and not have even have the same bye, or pile them all and try them all having the same bye in the same week. It's actually statistically better to pile all those guys onto one bye week so you're dominant the rest of the week. So yeah, probably lose the week that they're all on bye, but you're going to be better than almost anybody else from there on. All right, and final question for Matt GSF Ron. It's not a two-part question, but there's a qualifier. Who is the better drafter, not the overall better fantasy player, between Dave, Eric, Bert, and Leroy? This is more of a shocks and locks question, but we're going to do it right now. So who's the best drafter amongst us, guys? I will not be best here. So you shouldn't be either. Leroy says Dave.
Leroy.
Kurt says Leroy and Dave.
I think it's Kurt.
I would say it's Leroy. So two votes for Leroy, I think, is the best. I'm also noticing that nobody voted for me.
He's under
the gun. Unreal. Okay, so that just makes me the overall better fantasy.
That's right. You're the waiver master.
Hold on. There's one guy accepting a trophy from his car on Sunday at the KFFS.
Wow, man.
That's Leroy, you should come up. We can hold the
truck. Hug it out, man.
We'll hug it out. Shout out to Coyote Streakers, Mike Santos, logged in the chat. I know he's on Pacific time, so good to see him in the chat room. So that is gonna do it. I forgot to tell you the name segment. It was called the two pecker positional stacker, and that is gonna do it for that segment. So big to GS up front for being our number one fan on Twitter. We certainly appreciate all the love. We are coming up on 27 minutes until the top hour. You are listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Footballer Roadshow live on I-65 Talk Radio. We are coming up on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Street. I didn't know they had one up in Indiana, but apparently they do.
Don't stop here.
Yeah.
I'm going for the bathroom.
So anyway, my name is Eric Baldwin, the guy that sensitive comments there were Kurt Awe, David Kurek.
Oh, it's all in good fun.
As well as Roy Corson. We are on our way to the Kentucky Fantasy State Championship. Remember, we will have a second episode broadcasting live from the KFFSC Dynasty Draft tonight. That'll be myself, Dave, and whoever else can stop by. I'm very excited to get on the boat we've hung out with in past years here, so it should be great. We are coming downtown Indianapolis right now, ladies and gentlemen. If you are in Indy, give us a wave. Let's get to some emails here, guys. We got a slew of people were really excited about this live on I-65. So we got a ton of emails, and I'll get to the first one right here. This is from Clayton in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hello, Fantasy Roadmaster. You hit the nail on the head when you said that Friday's show has attempted before. I hope you read my first so I can become part of broadcast history. Well, Clayton, welcome to broadcast history, baby. My question is this. Do you think the ranking of Aaron Foss, Ray Rice, LeSean McVay on their handcuffs or lack thereof? Foster when I draft number one. If I go with either of the other two, I don't have to blow a first round on Ben. Okay, thanks, Jen. So Clayton in Greensboro, North Carolina. We talked about this actually on the way down about what we would do with the number one pick. Dave, what's your take on blowing like a seventh round pick like and Foster number one?
Well, like I kind of said before when we were off the air, I think you still take Foster number one if you like him the best. Not to worry about the handcuffs. If you paid at the 6-12-7-1, I guess you can do that, but I'm more athletic, go to the 8-12-9-1 pick. There you take him if he's not well. That's unfortunate because you really need that late sixth, early seventh round pick to actually pick skilled players or quarterback or tight end, depending on how you make your team. That's it.
Kurt, what do you think about that? I mean, is that the right strategy? If you get at the 8-12, you're good with that. And if you don't, you're kind of screwed, aren't you?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, if you're that worried about possible draft,
is McCoy, you have the number three pick, and you don't like, and you want to get Ben Tate. What do you do there? Draft Ben Tate at the seven, or wait till the eighth, or how do you plan that then? Because now you don't have another stud running back to fall back on, unless you're crazy Darren McFadden, which you might be. Yeah. Leroy, how do you fall on this at all? I mean, are you net, make sure you navigate. You're not for drafting him. Clayton, the important thing is to remember here, I mean, we try to answer these questions based on trying a national event or Kentucky. When you're trying to beat out hundreds of other teams or maybe 1,000 other teams in some cases, the problem with that is you're not going to probably beat them if you're busy scooping up handcuffs. You just got to, like Leroy said, live by the sword, die by the sword, go big or go home, insert your cliche here. Next email is from Christian in Saginaw City, Michigan. Hey, watch out for that car. Just kidding, guys. I'm super psyched to be in for the show Friday. By the way, did that scare you?
Right? Open the window for the motorcycle.
I don't
quick.
Little ambiance here.
Yeah, man.
The motorcycle. Because you're plugged in right there.
All right.
So hey.
This download is
going to
be quite interesting.
Yeah, the guy never even looked over. I literally had a microphone hanging out the side of the car. More than
no, don't.
All right,
I'll
do it again. All right, so Christian in Saginaw City. I'm super excited to tune into the show Friday. It could be fantastic, disaster, or both. In any event, so far it is. I will be listening live. I know Balky and Dave talked about this a few weeks ago. Who stands to lose the most value on the Patriots this year? Unless Brady throws or 6,000 yards, at least one of these guys will bust. Gronk, Welker, Hernandez, and Book. Who are you guys avoiding this weekend in Kentucky by Christian in Saginaw City, Michigan? To pick this first, I can throw it to anybody. Does anybody have a good answer? We're trying to open this right now.
It is a little fuzzy, I think. I mean, it's a tough call. I would have to say, to pick two, I would say Welker and Gronk are the guys who most could miss. I'm really likely to draft. I would say probably Welker at where he's going, even though I really liked him last year.
Kurt, what about you? Are you avoiding any of these guys at all?
I'm not too high on Lloyd myself. He's like the big play guy. Welker, I guess. I mean, he won't get as many targets like I think he's done, but I don't know if he's going to get enough to support where he's going.
All right, Leroy, let me. No, you don't want to answer this one?
Traffic's getting tight here.
Oh, is it? All right. Okay, well, we're in the exit for Louisville right now, so we're on our way. To me, it's a Gronk for this. I say it's Gronk.
Gronk, right.
I say it's so close because look at where you have to take the other whether in the second or third, Hernandez in the third, fourth. It's like a first or a second round pick you got to blow. I'm going to take him. That is an awful lot of stock to pour. Is going to bust or not. And by bust, we mean I don't think he returns his value as far as a first or second pick. Gronk still, catch 1,000 yards or, let's say he catches 70 balls, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. It's not terrible, but certainly if you take him in the first round, you'd be pretty ticked off at that, at least that week. Dear Eric, Dave, Kurt, and the real LaRue, I can't even get a good read on the 49ers fantasy prospects. Sometimes I read that they will run just as much, and sometimes I read that Alex will be airing the ball out to Crabtree, Manningham, and Davis. I also have no going to the SF running back to Holmes? And how many will Randy Moss play per game? And will it matter? Sorry for so many questions. Frustrated about Frisco, that Amy in Topeka, Kansas. We haven't really talked about the Niners a whole lot on this show. I think we spent a little bit of time talking about Randy Moss, but that was before we heard he can only play, 15 to 25 plays per game or whatever it is. What's our thing on Dave? If it's just you first, are you targeting anybody from the Niners this year? I mean, are they seem like pretty bad fantasy prospects?
I'm really not targeting any specific guys. I don't like Gore so much because so many running backs are there and he's full. Even though they say he's looking decent. Not Moss, not Manningham. I don't like Crabtree's skill set. Vernon Davis I would consider, but I wouldn't say I'm going out of the way to target him. I think Alex Smith might actually do better than the draft position, but again, I'm not looking to draft him. And then, of course, the Niners defense is ridiculous. He's already taken first.
Yeah, Niners defense definitely being overdrafted. And you know what? I'll tell anybody about that because if you're taking the Niners defense in like the 10th or 11th round, it's awful.
You're too stupid to listen anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, or the other thing.
Well, maybe that's the show. That's the show up there.
Yeah, exactly. Kurt, let's talk about your read on the Niners this year. You've both been a big Randy Moss guy. Are you liking Moss this year or any other Niners?
I'm gonna
make this tough on you. What's one gonna be on at least one advantage? Should be Smith, Gore, Hunter, James, Jacob, Manningham, Vernon Davis,
Akers.
David Akers, is that who it is?
Akers.
So David Akers in that order? Like, are you more likely to have David Akers on a team than Vernon? That's interesting. And you know what? Don't totally disagree.
I don't, yeah, that's not a bad analysis.
The only problem, I think you have to take Akers earlier than the last round, which is usually reserved for the kicker for me. So there you go, Amy. I think we're taking away in general, and that is the best advice I can give you.
Hey, I got a tweet that just came in.
All right. Mike sent those tweet. Did he tweet HSF Hour or you at David Gerzak on Twitter?
I'm not sure. It's question
great,
of the
thank
day.
You.
Question of the day is which ring we prefer on the road trip.
Yeah, I just answered that in the chat room.
Yeah, well, now we're just on the broadcast.
Okay, well, I've had some black coffee, big Emerald. Emerald Lagasse, Big Easy Bold was my flavor this morning. And then I stopped at Arby's and got some Diet Mountain Dew. Dave, I'll pitch it to you here.
I've had 5 Bacardi Old Cards and Diet. No, I'm just kidding. I've just
since we got back on the road.
Yeah, no, I've been, just diet sodas and coffees and stuff like that. Maybe we'll hit them a little bit later tonight. But we got to stay sober, so you have a good clean analysis.
Right. Kurt has a bottle of Courvoisier on his lap currently. Kurt, what have you been drinking today?
Strictly Ciroc.
So it's all about Ciroc for Kurt. That makes sense. Diddy would be proud. What have you been drinking on the road trip so far? He's our driver, ladies and gentlemen. We don't advocate drinking and driving, nor do we advocate violence against women. All right, so, wow, this is, yeah, we are just, I'll say this, this could get national attention for the wrong reason. All right, let's move on to Cody in Yuma, Arizona. Greetings, gentlemen. I have been doing several Football Guys Players Championship drafts, and I've seen the same strategy attempted twice at the second round turn. I wanted to get your read on it. If you have the 10, 11, or 12 pick, would you consider drafting both Julio and Roddy to secure the majority of what should be a dynamite passing game? Say hi to Javier. Hey, go Cardinals. That's Cody in Yuma, Arizona. Dave, what do you think? You think that's a good strategy to go with in the FPC draft?
Yeah, I prefer to do it in the, this isn't going to be workable kind of guys. But, if you could do the second and third round or third and fourth round, it would be better probably. But I think it's definitely that more. Julio and Roddy are going to have good seasons. It makes a lot of sense.
You can look at that from the standpoint. Essentially, you could be looking at 200 catches, maybe 2,600 yards, and 25 touchdowns between them. Kurt, is that a strategy you did adopt at all?
I'm not myself.
not making that up. That is a real place. Hi, guys. Born overseas, raised in the U.S., and now back at home with my family. I send this email hoping it will find you because I absolutely love you. I listen to a lot of fantasy podcasts, and I feel yours is the best of comedy and information. We don't try to do any comedy on this show.
We generally don't. You know.
It's not very funny. I don't know if you're laughing, have
it's
another one. I am seeking the information part right now. Yikes. I don't know if I'm able to do this. Following receivers, A.J. Green, Hakeem Nick, and Dwayne Bowe. I feel like very little has been said about them so far this season. Many thanks, Andrei in Balti, Moldova. So there you go. Who do we want to start out? Let's just kick it off A.J. Green since he's the guy going highest on drafts among these guys. We talked a little bit about A.J. Green on the way down. Dave, you and I are both surprised that he only had 115 targets this year. That number's sure to go up.
I mean, yeah, I think he might be worth the third round pick. I mean, he's probably not going to end up on a lot of my teams. There's a few guys I'd rather have than him. But, I mean, like I said before, he's kind of like what you call like a blue ribbon pick, where he's a guy that he's a pedigree player in his second year. He broke out as a rookie. He's actually a pretty safe pick, I think, in the third round. I mean, unless he gets hurt, all he gets hurt, I think he's definitely going to put up the numbers. I really need A.J. Green this year putting up, like, top five receiver production. He's top 15, though.
Leroy, do you have any strong feelings on A.J. Green this year? What about as a fantasy product? All right. Leroy, I'm waiting for Leroy to jam the brakes right now and slam my head right through his headrest. Hakeem Nicks will be next. Kurt, I know you're the remnant Hakeem Nicks expert among us. It does seem like Kurt does Hakeem Nicks a lot.
Giants and
Cowboys. And Cowboys and Steelers defense. And Jerome Bettis is Kurt's special. To you. Team next, where would you take him this year? What sounds about right? And is that something that you would look at doing, or is that just where he'll go?
I honestly thought about a lot of performance, too, but I think he's going to really explode
out. So, again, you have Victor Cruz stepping up this year, as he did last year. Hakeem next, never one guy away from the injured list. And they, what did they take? Reuben Randall, second round this year. So certainly there's some guys there that you may want to be wary of if you're taking Hakeem next. Dwayne Bowe. Let's talk about Dwayne Bowe. Dave, what do you think about Dwayne Bowe? I know you like him as much as I do this year. To me, he suggested that he is a quarterback-proof player, a super easy schedule this year. I'm putting myself some Debo.
I don't mind Dwayne Bowe. He's like one of those guys that the last – that's probably on my second or third year, depending upon how you do it. He's another kind of safe guy, safe pick in the fifth round. He's back in camp. He's a contender. I think Castle's going to heavily target him all season, and I think he'll be all right.
I love Dwayne Bowe this year. I think that he took a while to report to camp. You missed the ball on him because now his ADP is probably going to shoot up a full round. He hasn't already, to be honest with you. Get him in the late sixth. Now he's going to the early to mid-fifth in FFP draft. Final email, so hopefully Andrei that helped you out. Final email, do you want to say who it's from?
Javier.
Javier emailed us. I'm reading his email tonight.
I'll clarify that
for him. If I told Javier, I think it would be.
Earl from Stoughton?
Earl from Stoughton emailed us. Leroy. Why is this loud? Do I need a new player?
Yeah, it's a crap.
Driving a piece of crap diesel Dodge during golf parade. Only in Indiana, folks. Only in Indiana. Earl from Stoughton writes, hey, stopping on the way down for breakfast. My wife will cook up some flapjacks for ya, and I can give you a quick tour of both towns. We might even have time for a 50s tapper at Sonny's. Looking forward to it. I did check this. There is a Sonny's in Wisconsin.
What did we miss? You didn't even tell us about
the already almost to the Illinois border, so I figured, what's the point? I don't want to go back. Even though we might catch him on the way back, so I will send Earl an email back to see if we can meet up for the 50 cent Miller tappers at Sunny.
I'll bring 250. We'll all have
them. Well, no, I mean, we'll come more. So your email should have tappers. they'll pick something up. Earl, something we need on Wednesday. We'll look forward to maybe something on Monday. We are coming back. That was fantasy feedback for this week. As a reminder, in addition to posting questions in the chat, we have another for us to make you famous on the show. Twitter, at HSF, the HFF hashtag works as well. Facebook.com/TheHighDeckFantasyFootballHour. Phone number is 347-226-3682. And the email address is
HighDeckFantasyFootball. Play some music.
We will. I forget what fantasy feedback, but I'm going to blow by it. It's all right. But you guys, no complaints. Great.
Fine.
We have about 9 minutes left in the show, and it's time for my favorite position.
And now it's time for Shocks. I am shocked.
Yes, it is shocking.
And locks.
Hey, lock it up, Holmes.
Oh, baby, it's a lock.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
In a dedication and thanks to GSF Ron, we'll talk about his beloved Chargers. Your lock for the top Chargers wide receiver this year, and I'll be nice and narrow it down to Robert Meacham, Malcolm Floyd, Vincent Brown, Eddie Royal, Ross Parrish. My lock is Malcolm Floyd. I will go first, Dave, since I know you don't like always go first, but I'll make you go second.
I'm going to go Malcolm Floyd. Assuming I took Gates.
Tigers here. Gates is lock.
Top pass catcher would be Gates.
Right. I totally agree. Your top Chargers wide receivers here? Meacham by default. Do you have any feelings on this? Can we pass this guy or just fall behind? I cannot take the noise.
You pass him.
Oh, God. Leroy, top Chargers receiver this year. You're locked. Vincent Brown, right? The broken foot. Yeah, I will say this. Probably the most talented of all of them.
He's looked the best, or he did.
Right. Our shock, Dave, for top receiver this year for the Chargers.
My shock is Eddie Royal out of the slot.
I will say, I wanted to say Vincent Brown, but I feel that Eddie, he had that weird match up. Oh, now, so what would shock me, led receiver? He got the Chargers receiver.
Eddie Royal.
I absolutely love it. Okay. So that is the Chargers wide receiver for the next shot. As far as the most FPC league champs go, which Ram is going to be the one? In other words, which Ram is going to be the FPC league champs here? Here are the choices. Sam Bradford, Steven Jensen, Isaiah Pede, Brian Quick, Steve Smith, Danny Amendola, Austin Pettis, or Hendricks. I will go first. I think the way he's coming on, good pick to win type guy. I'm voting as my lock, Brian Quick, the rookie receiver. Seems like he's really gotten it the past couple of weeks at practice. So Brian Quick, lock for the Rams, most FFP champs, Rams, the other roster. Not a cent. I'm moving on.
I would go Danny Amendola, actually, again, playing out of the slot. It seems like a lot of the sharp-type fantasy players that have seen draft, got that concussion again. Just kind of sneak him out of the roster as their WR for LP. He catches about 700 yards and 7 touchdowns, and it works out well.
All right, I say Quick, Jason Amendola, Kurt, to you for the lock.
I would be shocked if any Rams were on anybody.
Son of a gun. Steven Jackson is your lock. We know you're shocked, which is none of the above. Not even Beal. It's none of the above.
Beal.
Leroy, who's your lock for the Ram to be on the most FFPC league?
Super Beast.
Super Beast. It's interesting because that's a damn good team. And I really don't know if they know who it's going to be yet between those two.
Well, so supposedly I heard that they were, that Smith and Amendola were running together as starters. And then Amendola going inside to the slot when they went into
and then Quick came out on the other
side. Yeah, that's fluid, I think, a little bit still, too.
I don't think they know yet. All right, and you're shocked. I'd be shocked if Sam Bradford found his way onto a bunch of league champs. I like him. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that is going to be giving you a backing to win your league as Sam Bradford is your backup, because he won't be a starter for any league champs.
I would say Isaiah Pede would be my shock, because I don't think he's talented. I think he's undersized. He's too slow. And I don't think Steven Jackson is going to get hurt. So in other words, you Steven Jackson get hurt, then you have to have Pede, and then he has to do well. Those are all three reasons that are not going to go in his favor.
All right, so I say Bradford. Dave says Pede. Kurt, what do you think? Oh, you said no one.
None.
Right?
Oh, Kendrick.
Would you like Kendrick? I like Kendrick this year. That is factually correct. Although, remember, Don Meador won the 2009 FFPC with Dante Rosario.
Hey, remember, our attorney said you can't factually correct anymore. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
That
is above the suit. Yeah, thanks, four-letter network. But I would say what I'm talking about. You bunch of jerks. All right, Leroy, who's your shock? Isaiah, we got two votes for Pede. I'm not a big Pede guy as well.
You should stop off.
We will. We're going to stop for taking Isaiah Pede.
Don't say Pede anymore.
Gyno. I just tried to combine for guys and final, and I said Gyno. All right. Fire, shock, and lock here. What's going to happen to us before we can talk? Get pulled over, get to a car accident, or Javier on the down. I think we are for a lot of things to accident. That is my lock for this. Kurt, I can't wait to hear what you have to say here. Your lock.
Been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.